Okay.
You are now being transferred to broadcast. To end, hang up.
Avraham Ishaya Goldman started in Torah Way, Manchester, Parshas Nosei. Today is Yud Aleph Sivan. Topic is Shkayach Kayanim. Okay, good morning, everybody. So one of the mitzvahs in this week's parasha, there's quite a few unique mitzvahs in this week's parasha, but really only one of them is fully negea for nowadays, which is just a small little parasha which comes before the long repetitive parashas of the Nesiim's Matanas, and that is the parasha of Birchus Kohanim, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, tell Aaron and his children, Kosevarchos b'nei Yisrael, so you should bench Klal Yisrael, Yivrecha Hashem, etc., etc. This is a very beloved mitzvah that we have over here, especially in Chutz Laaretz, where we're not zeicha to have it every single day. And unfortunately, this year, for most of us, we were unable to participate in the mitzvah of Birchus Kohanim, which when usually on Yom Tov, everyone brings their children to shul, and it's something which is very exciting for all of us. But regarding this mitzvah, it's the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah in Yud Zayin Amud Beis brings down that there was a Gioris, and her name was Bluria. She's a convert to Judaism, and she came to Rabbi Gamliel, and she had a question. She says to Rabbi Gamliel, I don't understand. The Rabbeinu Shonim tells Moshe Rabbeinu, tell Aaron to bench Klal Yisrael with the pasuk of Yivarechach Hashem. And in that bracha, we say, Yisa Hashem pono v'ilecha v'ichunecha, that Hashem should show favoritism. He should lift his face, so to speak, and show favoritism to Klal Yisrael. And yet, on the other hand, there's another pasuk in Pashas Ekev, which says, Hashem is a kela gozla gibuva anera, Hashem is all fearful, Hashem lo yisaf fonim, but lo yikach sheichad. And he doesn't show any favoritism whatsoever, and doesn't take any bribery. So she asked Rabbi Gamliel, how can it be that on the one hand, we tell the Kohanim, bench Klal Yisrael, that it should be zoicha to favoritism, and on the other hand, the Ribbono Shel Olam says very clearly in the Torah, Hashem lo yisaf fonim, but lo yikach sheichad, that he doesn't show any favoritism at all, anywhere. So Rabbi Yossi HaKohen was there at the time, says the Gemara, and he explained with a mashal. He gave a mashal of a friend of a king who was sitting in front of the king, and he wanted to borrow money from another person. And he says in the king's presence that I want to borrow £1,000 from you, let's say, and I'm going to pay it back within 3 months, and I swear by the life of the king that I'm going to pay back this money within 3 months in the presence of the king. Fine, he's a good friend of the king. The king doesn't mind. He shows he knows he's serious. The thing is that it comes to the 3 months and the friend of the king doesn't pay up the person he borrowed the money from. And of course, the king was tremendously angry. And the friend of the king, knew he couldn't go into the king for a while and he hadn't paid up the money. But after a couple of months, he said, you know what, he's got to go in and appease the king. And he comes into the king and he says to the king, I'm really sorry for what I did. I was wrong. It was wrong what I did. I should never have promised by your life. And if I did promise by your life, I should certainly have paid it up on time. The king turns around to him and says to him, you know something, for myself, I can forgive you. But for the other person, you've borrowed money from him. You need to soothe his feelings. You promised you'd pay it by a certain time. First, go and sort out your problem with him. Said Rabbi Yossi HaKohen, the difference between when Hashem shows favoritism and when Hashem doesn't show favoritism is the difference between ben adam lamokayim and ben adam lachaveiro. For an avera between a man and himself, Hashem, ben adam lamokayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows favoritism, even when it's not deserved and it's not warranted. But when it comes to ben adam lachaveiro, when a person hurts somebody else's feelings, then in such a case, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem lo yisaf fonim v'lo yikach sheichad, there's no bribery, there's no favoritism. Doesn't matter how great a person you are, if you have hurt somebody else's feelings, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's no bribery, there's no favoritism, there's nothing you can do to get around that. You first have to go and soothe the other person, ask forgiveness, and only then can a person be zoicha to have the favoritism. And indeed, that sometimes when tragedy strikes, we're very used to, rightly so, we're very used to gathering together, we make big tehillim asifas, and we look where we can improve our ben adam lamokim. Generally, it comes to ben adam lamokim that we try and improve, whether it's blaming the internet, whether it's improving our talking during davening, which is very, very severe, or our learning extra hours, etc. But very often we neglect that perhaps sometimes in ben adam lachaveiro, that's where we really need to improve ourselves. And maybe, obviously, we don't know why HaKadosh Baruch Hu has brought this coronavirus around and why we've all been isolated and not been able to gather together. But maybe there's a message there. We have to listen to whatever messages we can get from it. But maybe there's a message there that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us, you know something? Your Ben Adam Lamachim is absolutely great. I love your Ben Adam Lamachim. You have so many Kolim Baruch Hashem. There's so much learning going on. There's so many beautiful Minyanim. There's so much good in the Ben Adam Lamachim arena. I want you to go home now and see what you can do, Ben Adam Lachaveiro. See what you can do to be makabel on ourselves, not to judge other people, because when we're sitting at home, we can't judge other people. So see what you can do to reach out to other neshamas, and indeed that's what's happened. We've been sitting at home, and there's been organizations which are there to help every other neshama that's around, everyone else in the Yiddish Kehillah, regardless of their observance, regardless whether they are Shema Shabbos or they're not Shema Shabbos. We've been out there to help every single Yid across Manchester and across all the Kehillahs in the world. There's people out there helping them, those who are struggling with the coronavirus. And it's amazing to see the chesed that comes out with giving this opportunity to be able to increase our Ben Adam L'Chaveiro rather than focus on our Ben Adam L'Mokin. And in fact, Rabbi Yisrael Salanta says, he translates a pasuk. We say a pasuk, which we haven't been saying for a few days, before Tachnun, we say, V'yom David al-God, nipto na b'yad Hashem, or b'yad Adam al-Poylo, which literally David HaMelech was asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if I'm going to fall into somebody's hands, better I should fall into your hands than I should fall into a human being's hands. So Rabbi Yisrael Salanta, the head of the Muslim movement, Rabbi Yisrael Salanta translated it, Nipla no b'yad Hashem. Better if I fall into Avera, I should fall into an Avera of Ben Adam L'Mokim, b'yad Hashem, or b'yad Adam, but in a Ben Adam L'Chavera, ala poila, I shouldn't fall. And this is a sensitivity that the Bali Musa say, that if a person wants to be Machmir, a person has to first, it's very important to be Machmir on Akhshirim, it's very important to be Machmir on Erevin, and it's very important for a Baal Nefesh to take all these things very, very seriously. But first, as it say the Baal Musa, a person has to make sure that he hasn't been pegeya in somebody else's covered. And another Yid's covered, he's got to be very, very sensitive to another Yid's covered. And in fact, Rabbi Yisrael Salanta himself, who was very makbid on Netilas Yadayim, on using a lot of water for Netilas Yadayim. And he was once, went to an inn, and when he was sitting by the table, he used a tiny bit of water to wash his hands. And his Tamidim asked him, Rebbe, you take more water, you're very makbid on Netilas Yadayim. And Rabbi Yisrael Salanta said no. And afterwards he explained to them that there's a servant girl there. There's a young girl who's a servant there. If he would have used a lot of water, the young servant girl would have had to go to the well and bring more water. That was his sensitivity to others. And in fact, we find that with today's Gedolim as well. Exactly the same story. Three stories which are just unbelievable. There's a story that Rabbi Avadi Yosef, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. In his Beis HaMedrash, there was a Bar Mitzvah boy in Eretz Yisrael, the minhag is that they don't name the full parasha, but the Bar Mitzvah boy prepares the Haftarah, and he gets called up from after, and he says the brachas on the Haftarah, and he lanes the Haftarah. And that week in Rabbi Avadia's shul, there was a boy who'd prepared the wrong Haftarah, had nothing to do with that week's parasha, he'd made a mistake. And it came to he got called up from after, and he was about to make the brachas on the wrong Haftarah, so they asked Rabbi Avadia, what should we do? And Rabbi Avadia said, he should make the brachas, he should go ahead, and he should lane the wrong Haftarah. And afterwards, Rabbi Reuven Yosef, his son, came to him and asked his father, Abba, how can it be that you allow this boy to make brachas levatala? So Rabbi Avadia says to him, yep, you're right, brachas levatala is something which is very, very serious. But he knows, he said, Rabbi Avadia, I know I can get a kapara, I can get kapara, I can get forgiven. If I daven hard enough, I do teshuva, on Yom Kippur I can get kapara. And if none of that works, then my Yom HaMisa will be mechapa for the avera of the brachas levatala, which this boy just did. But if I was chas v'shalom to have hurt this boy's feelings, even Yom HaMisa is not going to be mechapa for this boy's feelings. And there's a story of Rabbi Aaron Leib as well, which shows in interpersonal relationships as well. One year, Rabbi Aaron Leib was, there's a minhag for a lot of people have a minhag to a lot of people. I know in Manchester there are people in Eretz Yisrael, a lot of people gather their water before Pesach, they gather their water together in order not to use the main water stream in case there's some chametz inside it. So before Pesach, they fill up big vats of water as a chumrah. And one year, Rabbi Aaron Leib was filling up these big vats of water, and his gabbai came in and asked, what's the Rosh Hashiva doing? So Rabbi Aaron Leib told him, you know, there's a chumrah to prepare your water before Pesach. So the Gabbai said, I know the chumrah, I keep the chumrah. But the Rosh Hashiva's never kept this chumrah. So Rabbi Aaron Leib says to him, I must tell you actually that years ago I kept this chumrah. But one year on Pesach, my wife used the regular taps. She forgot to use this pre-prepared water. And I tried telling her, don't worry, it's fine, it's okay, it's only a chumrah. But from then on, I felt that if I was going to use this chumrah again, my wife might feel bad about it. So I never used it again. But this year the Rebbetzin was Nifta. So I was able to keep this Chumrah once again because it won't be hurting her feelings. The sensitivity of a Gadol to his wife's feelings. And the same thing we find, there's a story told of the stipler that on the Shabbos Shiva of his wife, Friday night Shiva for his wife, he told his Einikov to please bring him a different Becher than the one he usually uses. He'd always been using the same Becher as long as they could remember. And this year, he told them, please bring me a different becher from the cupboard, this Shabbos. So they asked him, Abba, Saba, why a different becher now? So he explained to them the becher that he was always using till now was a very small becher, and it was a present that he got from his father-in-law. And he never wanted to hurt his father. It was a dodgy revius, so it was a very, very small revius. And he didn't want to hurt his father-in-law's feelings, so he continued to use this becher. And once his father-in-law was nifta, he was worried that if he started to use a different becher, his wife, who just lost her father, would also worry about it, would also feel perhaps slightly slighted. So he always used the same becher until his wife was nifta. Now that his wife was nifta, he was able to now keep a chumrah and use a much bigger revius, a much bigger becher. This was the sensitivity we see from the Gedolim, that not to hurt somebody else's feelings, that comes before everything else. And last Shabbos, we've just now been through the Yom Tov of Shavuos, and we know Chazal tell us that the luchas were both the same size, both tablets were the same size. They were equal not only in size, but they had the same number of mitzvahs on each side of the luchas. And we also know that they were both full with the same amount, they were both full of text. Both of them were full of text. Now, obviously, the question is, we know when we look in the parasha that the shortest part of the Aseres Hadibros, or the last five mitzvahs in Aseres Hadibros, they take up just a few lines. Not that many words, maybe 15 words in the entire second set of mitzvahs. And five of those words are loy, at least five, six of those words are loy. Two-letter words. And yet, on the first half of the Aseres Hadibros, the Ben Adon Amakim mitzvahs are much more writing. So how could it be that both sides were full of texts? And the Mefarshim say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the two sets of luchas, but one side was Ben Adon Amakim, as we know, and one side was Ben Adon L'Chaveiro. The Ben Adon Amakim side, we know is surely part of the Torah. We know to recognize one Hashem. We know not to serve Avodah Zarah. We know not to use Hashem's name for nothing. Shmiras Shabbos and Kibud Avaim. We know those are an integral part of the Torah. But the other side, Ben Adam L'Chaveroi, Hashem wanted to show us in big, bold letters that these are equally as important. And that's why the smaller text filled up the one side of the Ben Adam L'Makim, but the few words of the Ben Adam L'Chaveroi side were written in big, bold letters to underline that these mitzvahs are equally as important. And in order, like we said before, for Hashem to be Yisofonim, when the Kohenim benches in Birchus Kohenim, for the Kohenim to bench us, that Hashem should give us favoritism. That's when we are first perfect in our Ben Adam L'Chaveiro. We have forgiveness from our fellow man. When we haven't hurt their feelings, then Hashem will give us favoritism when it comes to the Ben Adam L'Mokim. And it's really appropriate, really, that these limudim come from Birchus Kohenim itself. A Kohen shows the ultimate Mesiras Nefesh. When he goes up to Duchan, a Kohen has the ultimate Mesiras Nefesh. And let me explain. I had an uncle in Gateshead, a great uncle in Gateshead, Zichus Ad Gavrocha, Reb Zalman Pinchas Ben Rabbi Osher, a Kohen who died, unfortunately, without any children. And they said over by his Levaya that there was a young couple in Gateshead who struggled for many years to have children. And every time he duchened, after every Yom Tov, he would go over to that young man and he would say to him, I had you in mind. This was a person himself who his entire life never had children. He was always a very happy person. But yet he would go up to the duchen, he would go up and he had in mind somebody else. For the davening to Hashem for the very thing which he didn't have, he was asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please give this other person. Imagine a Kohen has to go up to the Duchan and he has to put aside his own feelings. Imagine a Kohen struggling with his own children. He has to get up there and he has to say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please bench this Kehillah. Anyone in this Kehillah who's struggling with their children, they shouldn't struggle. A Kohen is struggling with Parnassa, he might be struggling financially very, very badly. And he's got to get up to the Duchan and he's going to daven to Hashem, please, as people here need Parnassa, Hashem, please give them Parnassa. A person, again, might not have children himself, but he's got to daven for Klal Yisrael that they should get children. But that is the huge, ultimate Mesiras Nefesh in Ben Adam L'Chaveiro. And in fact, the Kohen and Daven, when they finish saying the Birchus Kohenim, they turn back around to the Aron HaKodesh, they say a small little tefillah. And it starts off by Ribbono Shel Olam, we have been Mekayim, we fulfilled that what you were Gozer, what you decreed upon us. The question is, a Kohen saying, what you decreed upon us? This is a privilege for the Kohenim to bench Klal Yisrael. This is a mitzvah midoraisa given in this week's parasha for them, just for them. It's a privilege, not a gezeira. And indeed, when we think about it, for the Mesiras Nefesh it takes for a Kohen who might be struggling inside with something which he's going to specifically daven that Hashem should bench the other people in that Kehillah with. Something he can't ask for himself. but instead he's asking for the rest of the Kehillah. And that is in itself a gezeira, to ask a person to put aside his own personal feelings and to just concentrate on his fellow human being, on his fellow Yid, his fellow Neshama. That is indeed a gezeira. And indeed, if we can take out from that the Mesiris Nefesh of the Kohen, this year we weren't zoicha to have the actual physical Birchus Kohenim, but perhaps we could take away the Mesiris Nefesh from the Kohen and emulate that, and through that, that should hopefully bring us to Mitzvah Hashem, we should be zoicha for that to bring us to the ultimate Birchus Kohenim, led by the Oyev Shalom, Oreid Shalom, Aaron HaKohen. I'd like to just carry on a different topic. Something. This is a topic which is quite personal to me, something which, when I was made aware of, it changed my life a lot, and many people I've spoken to who were also made aware of this topic have also told me how much it's changed their life. There's a tzaddik who lives in Eretz Yisrael by the name of Rav Shalom Arush. Rav Shalom Arush has been zoicha to touch many, many millions of Yidin's life actually through his sefarim. Especially he's got a sefer called Garden of Emunah, which has sold millions of copies around the world. It's also known among the non-Jewish world as well. And there's a story that he related over last year when he was in America giving droshes on a tour of America. There's a story that was said over when he was there. There was a lady, many people come to him. He has strings of people waiting to get into him for brachas from every type of kehillah, mamish from the Hasidim to the Sfadim to non-religious. And there's a lady who came to him. She was, unfortunately, she'd been married 15, 16 years, and she wasn't zoicha to children. And the doctor had given up hope. And she came to Rav Shalom and she asked Rav Shalom for advice, what should she do? So Rav Arush was about to give her advice. And then he says, you know what, no, he gave her a bracha instead. So the lady saw that he was about to give her advice, but stopped. So she asked Rav Shalom, I saw the Rav was about to tell me something. What was the advice? So Rav Arush said, you're never going to be able to keep to it. So she says, try me. At least give me the chance. It's the only hope I've got. He goes, no, I'm telling you, you won't be able to keep to it. So she says, please, I'm begging you, please tell me about it. So Rav Arush says, fine, I'll tell you, but it's going to be very, very difficult for you. So she goes, I'm willing to try. I know there's nothing else left. The doctors have given up hope. So Rav Arush says to her, I want you to go every single day for an hour. And I want you to go into a room and think about the last 15 years, how difficult it's been. Every single time your hopes were raised and every single time your hopes were dashed. Think of all those times where you went to a simcha and you were alone. Think of all those times where you watched your friends in the park slowly grow distant from you because their talk was all about children and you didn't have what to relate to them about. I want you to think about all those times where your feelings were hurt, where you couldn't. You watched your friends making bar mitzvahs and they didn't know yes to invite you, not to invite you, how painful all that was for you. And I want you to thank Hashem for every single one of those things. So she looks at Rav Arush, thank Hashem for all that? How can I thank Hashem? It was such a bitter. It's been so terrible. How can I thank Hashem? And Rav Arush turns around and says, I told you wouldn't be able to keep to it. She goes, no, you know what? I'm going to try. The woman went away. And at the beginning, it was terribly difficult. Every single day she was crying and she had to mean it. She had to thank Hashem, find somewhere inside herself to find how to thank Hashem. But she managed. And a year later, it's a true story. A year later, it just happened just a couple of years ago. Rav Shalom Arush was a sandik at her bris a year later, her son's bris a year later. And this is an amazing thing, something which my brother and my sister-in-law pointed out to us about thanking Hashem. They went through a different system. And they came to a point where recognizing that it's important to thank Hashem for everything we have. And we were with them a year and a half ago. And they said to myself and my children, thank Hashem for the food that you just ate. So obviously we said, of course we just thanked Hashem. We just said a bracha. And we're brought up tackle. That's how we feel. We thank Hashem every single time, at least the time I was brought up, when we thank Hashem when we say a bracha. We thank Hashem when we say halal on Rosh Chodesh. We thank Hashem through Psuki de Zimra. But how many times do we actually thank Hashem for so many of the little things that we have in life, whether they're good or whether they're bad? Thank Hashem for the clean clothes we have to put on in the morning. Thank Hashem we have a roof over our heads. How many times do we actually thank Hashem for all the little things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives to us? It's known that, I think as Rabbi Hudalib Chasman asked the Chavetz Chaim, why his Shemoin Esras took so long? The Chavetz Chaim seemed to be that he took a long time over his Shemoin Esra. And the Chavetz Chaim said, the truth is I don't take so long over my Shemoin Esra. But when I get to Moedim and I'm thanking Hashem, I suddenly realize there's so much that I've got to thank Hashem for. I just can't move on. I can't move on from Moedim. All the things that he has to thank Hashem for, said the Chavetz Chaim. Now, of course, the Chavetz Chaim had many, many things in life. Material things were not many that he had. He lived in a very small house and didn't have materialism. And yet, he couldn't move on from Moedim. He had so much to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for. Kal v'chomer, the bracha and the shefa that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given to us today. If we have to be in Golos, at least we're in Golos today, in our own homes. We've not been sent to different countries. We've not been evicted from our homes. There's so much to thank Hashem for. And this is such a life changer. I've known it so much, since I've realized this, myself, my family, that when we, there's so much to thank Hashem for, when we thank Hashem for all the little things that happen to us in life, then it's a big life changer. And the Sfarim explain, it's very, very simple. In Pasha Shelach Lecha, which we're going to read in a couple of weeks' time, the Meraglim came back and they reported a terrible report, and they convinced Klal Yisrael how bad Eretz Yisrael was. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu fixed forever afterwards a Bechir L'Doiros, because we complained for nothing. Hashem therefore said, you're going to now complain forever after, until the Binyan by Shlishi, you're going to complain forever afterwards on this night of Tisha B'Av, because you complained for nothing. If you complain, Hashem says, I'll give you what to complain about. And the Sfarim say that a person can affect for a Refuah Shleimah for people in Mechalkel Chayim B'Chesed, when we say Seimech Nefim V'Roifei Cholim, we can get more of a Yeshua for people who need the Refuah than in the Bracha of Roifei Cholim. Because in Roifei Cholim, we're asking. In Mechalkel Chayim, we're thanking. We're recognizing Hashem, you're the Roifei Cholim. When we thank Hashem, Hashem says, that's what you want to thank me about? I'll give you what to thank me about. What to thank me about. And he gives us more and more. That's why. That's the reaction to it. And I saw something just to finish off with, a story that I heard from, actually, I think it was from Mr. Charlie Harari. He says, the following mashal, I think it happened with him. When a father has young children and they start to climb on, they go to the park with them and they go on the climbing frame. And then the father says, you know, go higher and I'll catch you. Jump from the high step and I'll catch you. And of course, at first, the child's very nervous to jump into his father's hand. It's very high. He's very nervous. And the father says, no, no, jump, jump. I'll catch you. Don't worry. I'll catch you. And so, fine. The child jumps and the father catches him. And then the next time, he has a bit more trust in the father. And the father steps away a bit and he jumps again a little bit more. And it takes time to build a trust. But within a short time, the boy's climbing up to the top of the climbing frame and free falling down into his father's hands. Now, if for a moment the father's distracted, and let's say he gets an important text message, or he sees someone in the park that it's very important to speak to, and out the corner of his eye, he sees his child climbing the climbing frame again, and he's going, Daddy, and he jumps off the top level of the climbing frame, the father would dive to save that child. The father would jump from wherever he is, and he would jump there to make sure that he catches that child. When we place our Amun in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we thank Hashem for everything that we have, and we recognize that something didn't go our way today, our business meeting didn't work out, we didn't make the deal that we wanted to make, we're short of funds for whatever it was that we needed, when we got late for a meeting or a client that promised they were going to pay, didn't pay, when things don't go our way, and we thank Hashem, and we say to Hashem, you know something, Hashem, I trust that if you've done this for me, it must be for the best, because you're my father, you're looking out for me. It can only be that if you've done this for me, it must be that it's for the best. It cannot be otherwise, because I know Hashem, you have my own interest in mind. This is what true emunah is. When we see that if Hashem is, that when we truly believe that Hashem is the one who orchestrates everything, and then when we see things that happen in our life aren't always the best, but we know they must be the best, because if Hashem, you did this to me, thank you, because it must be for the best, because you care about me. And I don't know if we have time, just a story which took place very, very quickly, in the 1930s, there was a Yid called Reb Baruch Frankel who lived in Europe. And he, together with another friend of his, they went to America to try and make money. And in those days, there was no social media. And they took a ship. They traveled a few weeks to America. And they were sending money back to their family in Europe. And they intended to come back after a couple of years to, because times were very tough in pre-war Europe. And they both, him and his friend, both built a business over there. And this Baruch Frankel couldn't get a loan for his business. So he joined up with an American citizen, and they got a loan. Every month they were sending money back, and they were both very, very successful. After a couple of years, not seeing their family, no WhatsApp, no Zoom, there's no way of seeing the family, they took a ship back. They'd been sending letters. They were desperate to see their families. 2 years they'd been away in America. And as they were about to board the ship, Baruch Frankel gets a telegram. His father was Nifta. So he asks his Rav, what should I do? And his Rav says, no, you should sit Shiva over here. So he tells his friend, you go ahead. I'm going to sit Shiva. And I'll take a ship next week. He had enough money to change his tickets. He had a successful business in America. And as he's sitting Shiva, his business partner comes in and he says to him, listen, Baruch, I need you to sign these documents. We need an urgent loan for the business. And he's so confused, you know, so he just signs the documents and says, you know what, I'm sitting shiv right now. Just, he's not, it's urgent, the bank need them, and he signs the documents. He gets up from sitting shiv and he goes to see the business and he sees that the shop is shuttered, the shop's closed. He goes to the bank and he goes to try and draw money out and the bank account's empty. And he says to the bank, what's going on? I have a successful business here. What happened to the loan documents we just signed for the business? So the bank manager says to him, these weren't loan documents, these were transfer documents. Your business partner conned you out of all your money and you're now penniless. Baruch turns around, he could have complained, Hashem, how can you do this to me? And he said, thank you, Hashem, because if you're doing this for me, it must be for the best. Baruch then had to get a job half-time as a butler till he could build up enough money to open up his own business and to become an American citizen. He fought to become an American citizen and it took him another 3 years to rebuild up his business. He'd now been home away from his family for 5 years. He hadn't seen his wife, he hadn't seen his children. Once again, he had a successful business and he went home. By now, it was the late 1930s. And we know what happened at the end of the 1930s. The Nazis came along. But by now, Baruch had an American citizenship. He went to the American embassy, got visas for his family, and him and his family lived in America. They escaped to America and they lived in America. Baruch could have complained. Like the Chofetz Chaim explains, when Moshe Rabbeinu asked to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu's face, Hashem said to him, Ponei le'yiro, you won't see my front. But only I don't remember the exact words. I've written down somewhere over here. I'm not sure. But the Rebbeinu Shalom said to him, you'll only see me'achorei, you'll only see from behind. We don't see often when it's good for us, when Hashem's orchestrating things. We don't always see the good in it. But what we do know is that Hashem is our Father. And when a child falls into his father's hands and says, I totally trust you, then no father wouldn't dive to save that child. Thank you very much, and I wish you all a very good day.